And I invite you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be reading Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Page 818, if you're using a church Bible. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth being a Christian? Do you ever find yourself asking that question? You've got friends who aren't Christians and they just seem to have a lot more fun than you do. You've got work colleagues or neighbours or family members who frankly find your faith and the ethical values that you hold just a little bit weird, and so you don't really fit in with them. Or there's perhaps a sports team or an orchestra or some other kind of society that you would love to join, but they meet on a Sunday when you know that you really should be in church. And then there's the low-level mockery, if not the outright disdain that you face because you take the Bible seriously and you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And sometimes you might find yourself asking, is it really worth all this hassle? Is it really worth being a Christian? And these two very short parables that we just read from Matthew chapter 13 answer that question, is it really worth it, with a resounding yes. Yes, it really is worth it. Yes, it really is worth being a Christian. Why? Quite simply, because of the supreme value of the kingdom of heaven. Because of what one Bible commentator calls the superlative worth of the kingdom. And that's what I want to explore with you this morning. I want to explore the supreme value, the superlative worth of the kingdom of heaven. And I want to do so under two main headings. Heading number one, the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. And heading number two, the kingdom of heaven is worth giving up everything for. The kingdom of heaven is worth everything, and the kingdom of heaven is worth giving up everything for. So, point number one, the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. This is the main lesson of the parable. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like treasure hidden in a field. It is like a pearl of great value or of great price. There is, you see, nothing whatsoever that is more precious, nothing more valuable than the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It is, Jesus says here, worth absolutely everything. And you ask the question, well, why? Why is the kingdom of heaven worth everything? Why is it worth so much? And the answer is, at least in part, because of what you get. It's because of what you receive as a member of God's kingdom. Just think about what you get, what you receive as a Christian. Let me just list a few things. As a Christian, you have salvation in all its fullness. You are fully, completely forgiven all of your sins. No longer do your sins stand against you. No longer do they count against you. They have been completely forgiven, washed away, wiped away. Your slate is clean. There is no condemnation for you. You have been accepted by God. God is now, in Jesus Christ, your Father. You have the Spirit of adoption dwelling in you, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. You can say as a Christian, the Lord Jesus is my Savior. He is my King. He is my Shepherd. He is the one who is always with me and will always provide for me. You have been justified by faith in Christ, and therefore you have peace with God. God is no longer against you. He is the greatest enemy that anyone could ever have, an enemy that you can never defeat. But God is no longer against you. In the gospel of Christ, he is for you. You have a new heart and a new spirit, enabling you to obey the commands of the Lord. You have the assurance that when you die, you will not go to hell. You will not, to use the language of the parable that we looked at last week, burn in the fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not where you are going. You have the assurance that when you die, you shall ascend to heaven, and you are eternally secure. God will not lose you. He has promised to lose none of those who are his. You are headed towards the world of glory, the new creation purchased by Jesus Christ. And the list could go on and on. You have blessing upon blessing upon blessing. But you see, that's not it. That's not even the best of it. You see, more than anything else, as a Christian, you have the greatest blessing, which is God himself. God himself is the one who is more valuable than anyone or anything else. This is what makes the kingdom, you see, so valuable. This is what gives it its superlative worth. The fact that you get, as a member of the kingdom of heaven, you get God himself. The brilliant French mathematician and philosopher and all-round genius Blaise Pascal once said that the human heart has a God-shaped void. And as you probably well know, St. Augustine once said that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, O Lord. This is, you see, the natural human condition. Naturally, we have a God-shaped void in our hearts. Naturally, our hearts are restless, made restless by our sin, by our alienation from the Lord, by our fall in Adam. But you see, when you enter into God's kingdom, when you become and when you live as a Christian, that God-shaped void in your heart is filled with God himself. And that restlessness brought on by your sin, that restlessness disappears. And you start to live as you were always meant to live. You start to live in communion with God, the very one for whom you were created. You start to enjoy him in all of his glory and splendor and grace. You start to glorify him. And there is no one more worthy to live for, to enjoy and to glorify. Do you see, brothers and sisters, do you see how exceptionally blessed you are to be a Christian? I remember as a little boy, I would dream about finding treasure. I think it's because I read books where little boys would get stranded on a desert island and they would find treasure. It just sounded so wonderful. I wonder if you children have similar dreams. And I would go to the beach when we were on holiday. We'd go down to the beach and I would take my plastic spade and plastic bucket and I would start to dig, and I'd either be digging for Australia to see if I could get there, or I'd be digging for treasure to see if I could find any money. You know where my heart sadly sometimes lies. And of course, I never found anything. No matter how hard I dug, I never found anything whatsoever. To find such treasure would be an incredibly rare thing, almost, you might say, an impossible thing. Who is going to find treasure digging with a plastic bucket and spade, especially in a place like Clacton-upon-Sea? To find such treasure is almost impossible. And if you were to find it, if by some chance you were to find it, you would you not, count yourself exceptionally blessed? You would say, look at what I have found. I have found treasure to last a lifetime, treasure that will go on forever. And you see, the point is this. One of the points that Jesus is making by likening the kingdom to treasure and to a pearl of great price is this, that finding the treasure of the kingdom, becoming a Christian, is no ordinary, humdrum sort of thing. Do not ever think that being a Christian is an ordinary thing. It is the most extraordinary, the most exceptional thing in the whole world, to belong to God, to be in his kingdom. And it's been secured, of course, by his exceptional grace. And you see, when you sit down and, as it were, tot up all of your blessings, when you realize that you have God himself, you want to say, do you not, look at what I found. Look at the exceptional treasure that I have received. I, who am so completely unworthy, I do not deserve this. I, who am so sinful and so corrupt and so dirty and who deserve to be condemned, look at what I found. Look at what has been given to me. Treasure that will not rust. All of these other treasures of the world, they will rust. They will rot away. They will fade. They will not last forever. But you, as a Christian, as a member of the kingdom of heaven, you have treasure that will never rust, that will never fade away, that will never be stolen or destroyed. And you say to yourself, how can it be? How can it be that I, who am so unworthy, have been given such unimaginable treasure? You want to sing out, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Do you ever want to just sing that out? We'll be singing it at the end of the service, so you can sing it then. But that's the sort of attitude that we should have. How can it be, and can it be, that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Do you ever marvel at the eternal, the spiritual treasures that you have? Do you realize, brothers and sisters, how exceptionally blessed you are because God has been exceptionally gracious to you? Maybe for some of you, life just has not turned out the way that you would have wanted. Maybe life is, for many of you here, full of burdens, full of difficulties, full of sorrows. Maybe this morning you just do not feel particularly blessed. You hear what I'm saying, but you just do not feel particularly blessed. I don't in any way want to minimize your problems, your troubles, your trials, your struggles, not at all. But please, please, by faith, take this to heart. If you are a Christian, if you belong in God's kingdom, you have found unimaginable treasure. You have found treasure that will make you rich for all eternity. You see, if you have God, if you have Christ, then you have everything that you need. You need nothing else. You have everything that you could ever actually desire. It is yours. He is yours. You have that which is worth everything because you have him who is worth everything. And so my first point is that the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. But then secondly, we also see in our parables that the kingdom of heaven is worth giving up everything for. It's not great English, I know. I was trying to think of a snappy title, but I couldn't. The kingdom of heaven is worth giving up everything in order to obtain. And that's what we see the two men in our parables doing, isn't it? The one finds treasure hidden in a field, and what does he do? In his joy, we're told, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And the merchant who's out in search of fine pearls, when he finds the one pearl of great value or great price, goes and sells all that he had and buys that pearl. They both give up everything in order to obtain what they have found. Now, interestingly, they come across their finds in different ways, don't they? The first man seems to just sort of happen across the treasure that's hidden in a field. He's not particularly looking for treasure. He just happens across it. Whereas the merchant, he is actually out in search of the pearl of great value. And this reminds us, I think, that people come into the kingdom in different ways. Maybe some of you here this morning just happened, as it were, to come across the kingdom of heaven. You just happened to come across salvation. It almost took you by surprise. Perhaps someone just invited you along to church or to some evangelistic event, and you heard the gospel for the very first time, and you became a Christian. Or maybe for some reason you just decided to read the Bible, and you read it, and God, by his Spirit, changed your heart. Maybe for some of you, you in that way just happened across the kingdom. But maybe for others of you, it was a painful search. For many, many years, you had questions, you had doubts. You thought, well, what about other religions? What about the whole question of suffering and evil? Is there such a thing as truth? All sorts of questions that you may have had. And it was a long and painful search until eventually you found the kingdom. We become Christians, don't we, in a whole variety of ways. A whole variety of ways. But the crucial question is really this. When you do find the kingdom, when you are confronted with Christ, do you see that the kingdom is worth giving up everything for? Now, of course, by that I do not mean that you have to earn the kingdom, that you have to pay a certain amount in order to get into the kingdom. That is not what Jesus is saying at all. You cannot earn your salvation. It is entirely free. But what Jesus is saying here is, are you willing to lose everything for the sake of me and my kingdom? Many years ago, when I was a student here, I was in a room, and the guy who was next door to me showed some interest in Christianity, and so over several months I tried to explain as best as I could the gospel to him, and he had many questions. He was a scientist and somewhat skeptical, and I took him along to these events, these things called Friday lunchtime talks. I don't know if the CU still does them, but they were excellent, and it really seemed as if he was, in a sense, getting close to the kingdom. He was beginning to realize that actually the Bible did make sense, that it made sense of the world and of his own life, and gave you a sense of meaning and purpose. He seemed to accept that Jesus really did die on the cross, and yes, really did die, rise again from the grave. And so one evening I plucked up the courage — I wouldn't normally do this, but I plucked up the courage — to ask him, well, will you become a Christian? You seem to be, as it were, on the edge of the kingdom. Will you become a Christian? And he said to me, you know, I can see that the gospel is basically true, and I basically accept the central tenets of Christianity about Christ and his death and resurrection and so on and so forth. But you know what? I just do not want to become a Christian. And I was somewhat shocked, because I thought, well, if you accept it as true, then surely you have to become a Christian. And so I said to him, well, why? Why do you not want to become a Christian? And I'll never forget what he said. And he was so brutally honest. He said, because it would just be too hard. It would just be too hard to become a Christian. He, in a sense, could see all of the benefits, all of the treasure. And yet for him, it was just going to be too hard to become a Christian. He saw that there were certain things that he would have to, as it were, sell, that he would have to give up. He saw that he couldn't just sleep around or get drunk or indulge in other sinful pleasures. He saw that he would have to put Jesus first, not himself. He saw that it would mean going to church on a Sunday rather than playing sport. He saw that it would probably mean losing face with his friends and being mocked, perhaps being misunderstood, ostracized even by his family. He saw the cost of becoming a Christian, and he decided that it was just too hard. Do you know people like this? Are you perhaps someone like this? And you ask the question, is it really worth giving up everything for? And the answer of this parable is absolutely, absolutely, it's worth giving up everything for. The first man, in his joy, we're told, goes and sells all that he has in order to purchase the field. You see, there are untold joys and everlasting pleasures that are opened up to you as a Christian. Everything else is loss compared to Christ. That's what we read in Philippians chapter 3. And Paul lost an awful lot, really. But what does he say? I count everything as loss. Everything is loss. It wasn't worth anything compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The American missionary Jim Elliot was tragically killed taking the gospel to a tribe in South America. Once said, and this is very famous, I'm sure you've heard it before, he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." Yes, you will have to give up much as a Christian. You will have to give up your attachment to sinful pleasures, to self-righteousness, to self-indulgence. You will quite possibly, if not probably, have to give up the possibility of earning more in your job, getting promotion. You may well have to give up position, respect from your colleagues, reputation. You may well lose friends, maybe even lose family members. But these are things that actually you can't keep anyway. You can't keep these things. But the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, which you will inherit, you cannot lose. And let me just make one final point as I close. One final point. Think about the king that you serve and that you belong to by being a member of the kingdom of heaven. Bear in mind what Jesus Christ has done for you. Bear in mind the fact that he, what did he do? Well, he came and he sought you out. And when he found you, what was it that he found? Well, he didn't exactly find priceless treasure or a pearl of great price, did he? What did Jesus find when he came across you? He saw dirty, vile, reprehensible, rebellious, hell-deserving sinners. That's what Jesus found when he came across you. But what did he do for you? What did Christ do for you? He sold, as it were, everything that he had. He gave up everything that he had in order to purchase you. You who are so vile, so sinful, so corrupt, so unworthy. He gave up the glory of heaven for the desolation of a cross, and he did so for you, for his people. The remarkable thing is that he treated you as if you were priceless treasure, as if you were a pearl of great value. And in his grace, he's making you into priceless treasure and pearls of great value. Is this not a king worth giving up everything for? Is this not a king worth even dying for, given he died for you? And do you really think this king will disappoint you as you weigh up the options, so to speak, between the advantages of the world and the blessings of the kingdom? Do you think Jesus will disappoint you? Do you think you'll get to the end of your life and say, "Oh, well, that wasn't worth it"? The kingdom of heaven is worth everything, and it's worth giving up everything for. Why? Because, of course, Jesus is worth everything. He is
the treasure. He is the pearl of greatest price. And he is the one who gave up everything for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the superlative worth of the kingdom because of the superlative worth of Jesus Christ, who is the treasure and the pearl of greatest price. We thank you for all that we have in him. Help us, we pray, to count our blessings. And help us to be willing to give up everything for you, to count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.